Thank you for asking me to do this. First, welcome all the newcomers. It's amazing. And the second thing is that is the most fabulous welcome I have ever had coming on to a meeting or walking into a meeting. So just awesome. My name is Carrie. I live in northern Arizona. Just as an FYI, I have a thunderstorm that's rolling in. We have monsoons here, so if you lose me, that is why. This one, say it, let me, there's a banner across my, my story, my childhood was a very typical religious childhood, extremely strict. I was extremely, rebellious. At 18, Dad said, "You need to stop this." I had a boyfriend who did multiple bad things, and I said, "Well, I'm just gonna move." And I was off and running. I at one point decided I was going to get my life back in order, and my parents helped me because I went into a very bad marriage, 3 years of abuse, and then decided I needed to move. I moved up with a really wonderful friend in Orange County. The problem was she liked to party, and the party kept going. I did keep a job, but every single weekend was a drink till you pass out. And that was just the way life was for me. I had a good life. I really thought everything was normal because it's what the people around me were doing. I met my now husband in 1990, and he drank like I did. So everything seemed fine. We did decide to stop drinking, and I will say that before we got married in 91, we both stopped drinking because we realized that it was causing us to have a lot of anger issues and things like that. And we stopped for a long time. The problem was we were dry, so it was a very chaotic time. There was a lot of anger, and I didn't drink through with having my 3 daughters. But it doesn't mean that everything was roses. If you were looking into my home, yes, I had the house, the car, the stay at I was a stay-at-home mom. I was PTA, Girl Scouts. I did it all. And Bible class teacher, the whole thing. But every weekend was a party. And the weekend just started getting earlier and earlier and earlier. In about in 10, 2010 is when it really took off and the just spiraled. My daughters were, the youngest one was still in grade school. And then I had let me see, she was about they were about around 12, 14, and 16. So it was around their ages. And I got a job in an ice carving factory where when I would stay, we would stay and we would party afterwards. And it was all the free booze I could have. And the party was on. And like I said, it just grew from there. I got to the point to where it was a daily drinking. My boss finally told me that he didn't mind if I drank, but don't drink on the job. And I said, "I don't drink on the job." And he told me that maybe I wanted to get a new mouthwash. I had just stopped because the liquor stores knew me. I had one on each road where how I went home and how I went to work. And on the way to work was a Red Bull and vodka. On the way home was Fireball and different types of whiskey or wine. And it was almost daily, if not daily. It was I hid stuff from my husband. My husband had started drinking, but I was always worse. So anyway, it really just went downhill from there to self-harm and just behaving in the worst ways possible in front of my husband's bosses. And in 2013, my husband basically, when I woke up, told me to say goodbye to my daughters and that I was off to Kaiser for rehab. And I didn't have a choice. And one of my big fears was being homeless. So off I went. And I was angry and I stayed in there. It was in September, and I stayed in that and into the rehab through 16, or I'm sorry, to through December. Kind of to speed up. Basically, I stayed sober for, or I stayed dry. I will never say I was sober because I was writing out things and doing the steps, but I wasn't doing or working the steps. And in 2016, at the fair, I said, I'm done with this whole thing. And I started drinking again. It was in August at the Orange County Fair. I can still visualize it today. Things went downhill quickly. It doesn't take long. I mean, I have cut my hair off. I have scars all over my body. I have fallen in the ocean between a boat and the dock where my husband had to try to save me. Fallen downstairs. I ended up with foot surgery because I was wearing 6 inch inch heels, and I went with my ankle completely flat and tore all the tendons. Base and life was getting hard. I drank whiskey until I was nauseous, and then I drank wine to calm it. I went from tequila to whiskey because I sure was sure that it was the tequila that was doing it. So in 2000, on March 28th of 2019, I woke up and I just said, "Dear Lord, I cannot do this anymore." And this time it was my choice. And I walked out and said, "I need help." Now, granted, right after that, I drank every drop of alcohol that was in my house that I could find. It was like this, I don't even know how to explain it because I wanted to be sober, but I wasn't going to waste anything in the house. And I went to rehab on, skipped going to Cozumel because it was, and so I was, in rehab, a wonderful rehab this time that basically it was get a sponsor and start working the steps and be honest. And I did. I was very, very in tune that I needed to be sober. And because I had lost my children, I had lost everything. Emotionally, I was bankrupt. I had lost all contact with a higher power. So I started working the steps. I had a wonderful sponsor. I am not one of those people that shied away from my fourth step. I dug in. I knew I had character defects, and I knew I had to find them, and I knew I needed to figure out why. What was I bearing? What was I afraid of? So I did my steps. I did my sponsor. I found meetings, and when I got out of rehab, I was a three meeting a day. It was like I was so scared of relapsing, and I was in rehab for 60 days. I was just like, it can't happen. I need to make sure that I'm working at this and walking these steps. And let's see, one of the big things I do want to say, one of the really big things was I started planning my oldest daughter's wedding. When I was dry, when I was sober, not drinking. But by the time she got married, we had an open, high-end alcohol bar. I ended up my daughters, the younger ones, put me to bed for my daughter's wedding. It's one of the most shameful things that I just like what I had done, at my daughter's wedding. So it's luckily I was able to make amends to her. But anyway, I worked at it. I worked at it. And that was one of the really big things. I found my higher power. I started reading, praying, meditating, and doing all of those things that my sponsor would tell me to do. My daughter was the oldest one. She ended up where I needed to pick her up. She ended up, it was not a good marriage, and I picked her up in Arkansas and brought her back to California. It turned out that she had developed late stage diabetes 1, or late age, because she was in her 20s, early mid 20s when she developed diabetes 1. But she also was diagnosed with bipolar 2 depressive, which explained a lot of things for me at that point. And we were helping her and helping her and helping her. And trying to get her to get the help she needed. I found her in 2020 during Easter on the floor, non-responsive. First phone call I had was to my husband. The second one was to my sponsor. After that, she seemed to be getting on the right track and things were going well. We moved to Arizona in September of 22, and my daughter passed away in October, on October 8th of 2022, from complications from diabetes. It was the one thing that I always said, I get why people drink when that happens. But when it happened, I was 7 hours away and I had to get to my other daughter's. So first call was to family, but my first non-family call was to my sponsor. It was, I need help. And she was still, she was my sponsor. I kept my same sponsor. And I will say that that AA saved us, lifted us up and helped us. But the other thing is, when you lose somebody like that, I found other women who had gone through it, and they helped me. And my husband did eventually get sober, so we both stayed sober through that event. And I will say that that is was my sponsor would ask me, "What did I want?" You know, and I, because I say, "I don't want to drink. I want the pain to go away." And she says, "That's not going to happen. You know, that's obviously not going to happen." And so, you can stay sober when these horrific things happen in your life. You can work through the grief. I still read. I still read the meditations. It took me 3 years before I could put her picture up in my house. But when I finally put a picture up in my house, who celebrated with me but was my sobriety sisters? Was it was a step forward. So I guess my point is, the AA saved me multiple times, not just from when I first came in, but when bad things happened, they were there. They were the ones that held us up. At my daughter's memorial, I had somebody brought alcohol to my daughter's memorial. I had drunk people all around me, family, not my family, actually, it's my husband's family, drunk, because my family doesn't drink, because my dad was an alcoholic in his younger years. He never drank when I was alive. He stopped before. But there were drunk people everywhere. And then I had my group of AA, and they are the ones that kept me, one, from going crazy and hurting somebody. Because I was very angry that anybody would disrespect my husband, myself, and my daughter that way. So anyway, it's one of the things if I'm asked to talk, because we all go through things, and for us to know that there is a path through, and between AA and my higher power, that is what I needed. The last thing I'm going to say, I don't even know what time it is. I didn't check to see when I started, so I have no idea.
You have plenty of time. You have 6 minutes.
Okay. Just to go back, the steps, because I think they're part of working. I like walking the steps. It's one of the things that here at my home group, we've kind of started saying we walk the steps. We do them, but we walk them. We try, and we call each other out on stuff. So we have a very, I have a wonderful group of women in Williams, Arizona, that I'm able to speak with. But one of the big things in getting sober and staying sober was the steps. And like I said, my first step, I was all there, and I found out fear, 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 fear. And it was different types of fear. When it became time to do the eighth and ninth step. I don't even know what word to use. I want to say brutal, but it's not that. I was just so, I know that this needs to be done to the best of my ability because I want to be sober for the rest of my life. And so I worked on that extremely hard, intensely with a lot of prayer and tears, and calls to my sponsor. And I was able to make amends to my oldest daughter before she passed away. And hear the things that, and it was wonderful and very enlightening. I mean, I have a hard time thinking of the word because not stressful, but they got to say things. My daughter and my husband got to say things back to me that I sat there and just they said them, and I didn't defend because there's no defense because half of them I didn't remember because I was a blackout drunk. So doing these steps and remembering the higher power, for me, God, I mean, I remember, in the morning I wake up and I try to remember to say, God, be with me today and help me. I still talk about defects of character because there's still a couple that just like to hang on. It's been a little over 7 years, and I just there's just still some of them that just hang on that I still work on a daily basis. One is anger, because I was one of the angriest people that, well, one that Kaiser way back in 2013, they were just like, you are so angry. And by the time I got sober, I wasn't quite that angry, but anger comes up quick for me. And so it is something that I work on. And through these steps and having a higher power and a sponsor and remembering you have those close people that you can say anything to. Because I was one of those people that after an hour of sitting there thinking about all the different things, had to go back and say, there's this one more thing that I couldn't say to you that is on my heart and that I had done. And she's like, okay, let's hear it. And there was never any judgment. And that is one of the things I love about Alcoholics Anonymous is that there's no judgment. It's just help and a helping hand and people being willing. I've never met a group of people who are so different, but that are so willing to help one another. And
2 minutes.
I think so for me. Just family, the AA is my family. They're the ones that I choose. I do have family. My daughters are wonderful. My middle daughter often reminds me that she doesn't have a program, and so she doesn't have to not hold resentments. And I'm like, but you'd be so much happier. And but she will actually has told me that several times, especially since my daughter passed, that she doesn't have to live the way that I have chosen that I live. But I wouldn't trade it. I just wouldn't trade it. And there's just it's fabulous. And so all the newcomers just people, this too shall pass, could not stand it, could not stand it. And I now have little rocks that say, this too shall pass, that remind me every day that this too shall pass, as much as I hated that statement. And so all the slogans, just embrace them because eventually they'll be what comes to your mind when something happens. It will be, this too shall pass, a serenity prayer. Just all of those, and one day at a time. And sometimes it's just 1 second at a time. So I thank you very much for giving me this time, and I'm a pastor. Thanks.